Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Rock Review. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about rock and roll music from such sources as Rolling Stone, The News and Observer, The Week Magazine, The Independent, New York Times, ClassicRock.About.com, BGO Records, ClassicBands.com, and Entertainment Weekly.
When I say people, when I daddy, when I mean, we love everybody, but we do as we please. When the weather's fine, we go fishing.
This opening number, In the Summertime, by Mungo Jerry, is reminiscent of those summer days, and after all, this coming Monday is the first day of summer, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. We'll be hearing more about and from summer rock tunes later on in today's program. But first, these trivia questions. Today's trivia questions are brought to us by www.triviaplane.com. Question number one. What did Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen lose in a 1984 auto accident? And question number two. What California group waited 22 years to score their first chart-topping single since 1966? The answers to these two important trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. The transition section of today's program is brought to us by BGORecords.com. Today in rock history. And today is June 19th and June 20th. What were the number one hits on June 19th in previous years? Well, back in 1965, you may remember, it was the Four Tops, I Can't Help Myself. And back in 1968, on June 19th, it was the Rolling Stones with Jumping Jack Flash. Back in 1971, you may remember Carole King, It's Too Late. That was back on June 19th, 1971. And Tina Turner, back on June 19th, 1993, had the number one hit, What's Love Got to Do With It? If you were born on June the 19th, you share a birthday with Tommy DeVito from the Four Seasons. He was born on that date back in 1925. You also share a birthday with Spanky McFarlane from Spanky and Our Gang, 1942, June 19th, and finally, Ann Wilson of Heart, born on June 19th, 1950. Miscellany in rock history. Well, back in 1959, on June 19th, Duane Eddy's Peter Gunn hits the UK chart. And back in 1973, on this day, it was Edgar Winter Group awarded a gold disc for Frankenstein single. And finally, back in 1988, on June the 19th, it was while Michael Jackson is performing a concert in West Berlin, over 3,000 East Germans gather at the Berlin Wall to hear it from the other side of the wall. Well, then, what about June 20th? Well, the number one hits back on June 20th in 1963, you may remember. Jerry and the Pacemakers, I Like It. And back on 1992, on this date, June 20th, it was Mariah Carey, I'll Be There. If you're born on June 20th, you share a birthday with Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys. 1942, he was born. And in 1946, Anne Murray, You Needed Me, was born on June 20th. And finally, John Taylor of Duran Duran, born on June 20th, 1960. Miscellany in rock history on June 20th. Well, back in 1957, it was Buddy Holly releasing Words of Love. And back in 1964, Buddy Holly's song Not Fade Away is released in the U.S. by the Rolling Stones. Back in 1969, on June 20th, it was the Newport Festival, begins with Jimi Hendrix, Joe Cocker, and Albert King. Back in 1973, on this day, June 20th, the U.S. Night of TV Nostalgia, as Dick Clark celebrates 20 years of American Bandstand. And back in 1983, 10 years later, Duane Eddy plays a gig in San Francisco on June 20th, at the start of his first U.S. tour for 15 years. And back in 1986, on June 20, it was Prince's Trust Concert at Wembley Arena with Paul McCartney, Elton John, Tina Turner, Phil Collins, and Mark Knopfler kicks off. Well, the World Cup is going on, and what are rock singers doing? Well, singer Jason Mraz visits Ghana to help end slavery. Well, this story is from New York, and it's published on June the 12th, 2010, and it's from newsandobserver.com. While Shakira, the Black Eyed Peas, and other top musicians are in Africa to help kick off the World Cup, singer Jason Mraz was on the continent for another reason, to help free slaves. The 31-year-old Grammy winner was in Ghana this week with Free the Slaves, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to end slavery worldwide. Mraz spent 5 days in the country, traveling with James Kofi Annan, a former child slave who used to work on fishing boats and had been enslaved for 7 years. Annan founded Challenging Heights, a school in Winaba, where many of its students are former slaves. The children perform songs for Mraz. The singer also traveled to a rescue shelter for slaves in the town of Atububu and to Lake Volta, where many child slaves are working, said Peggy Callahan, the organization's co-founder and executive producer. Callahan said she met Mraz through a mutual friend and suggested he go to Ghana with her. The movement to end slavery really needs more voices, but they really need to be authentic voices, people who really do care about an issue, she said. And Jason's one of those people, and he's willing to take the time to find out. Mraz is the first celebrity to participate on the ground with the organization. The pop singer is also busy working on the follow-up to his platinum-selling CD, 2008's We Sing, We Dance, We Steal Things. Well, in local pop rock news, we see this article from David Menconi, News and Observer, from Quaker to Blues Maker. This article was published on June the 11th, 2010. Seth Walker is a Texas bluesman who sounds as if he's just as comfortable playing blues bar or a country dance hall. Someone who could open for B.B. King one night and Lyle Lovett the next and win over both crowds. You might think he grew up on soulful country blues, hanging around clubs as a kid to pick up pointers from the old-timers, which is not the case at all. Walker is 37. He grew up playing classical cello on a Quaker commune, no less, right here in North Carolina. He spent his wonder years from the mid-70s to the late 80s on a farm near Altamaha, Ossipee, in the vicinity of Burlington. My parents and another couple, Jim and Susan Walton, met at a Quaker retreat in the 1970s and decided to build a house together and live communally, Walker says by phone from Nashville. So they built a log house out in the country. There were 9 of us, 4 adults and 5 kids, and we all chipped in. It was a very open and loving situation, Walker says. We were one big family, and there was always a lot of love in that house. There was always someone to look out for you and someone to entertain. My parents aren't there anymore, and Jim Walton has passed, but Susan still lives there, and she's kept it the same. I still go back, and it hasn't changed. It's a special place for me. Walker will get his next chance to visit this week when he plays Papa Mojo's Roadhouse in Durham, not too far down I-40 from the farm. And even though he was playing cello instead of a guitar as a kid, at the behest of his classical musician parents, Walker did take his first steps down the road towards Texas Roadhouse blues on the farm, thanks to Jim Walton. My first influence as far as contemporary music was this Texas country he loved, Walker says. Willie Nelson, Gary P. Nunn, Townes Van Zandt, Rodney Crowell, Guy Clark. That's what mostly spun on our player, especially Willie. It's in my DNA, so it's ironic that I wound up in Texas. Before Walker moved to Austin, his primary residence since 1995, he passed a few years studying graphic design at East Carolina University. He'd given up cello by then, but answered the siren call of electric guitars in his dormitory. Soon enough, Walker was also listening to Eric Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan and learning guitar. Further education came from an uncle who was a blues DJ in Florida and sent Walker tapes of his shows, where Walker heard T-Bone Walker, Clarence Gatemouth Brown, and other greats. "I've had my hands on strings since I was a kid," Walker says, "so it was just a matter of developing my ear. I didn't have cello forced on me, but it was not my choice to play either. Blues was something I was very passionate about learning." He learned well enough to release a string of solid albums, including the current Leap of Faith by Hyena Records, which goes down classy and smooth. The album was something of a leap of faith, Walker's first with an outside producer, Gary Nicholson. Walker credits Nicholson for the overall level of polish and confidence on the album. He's a very accomplished writer and producer and performer, and we had this common thread of Texas blues, Walker says. "I first heard him at a club in Austin singing a song called Everything I Know About the Blues I Learned From You. Something clicked. A lyrical element he had that I wanted to bring more to my music. So we set up a writing appointment," he continues. "It was natural enough that we fell right into making a record, too. So, yeah, it was a leap. Producer, bag of songs, new musicians. It's good to be scared. Makes you stand up straight." This next article is by Ursula Sauter, published in odemagazine.com on March 2010. "Take Two Concertos and Call Me in the Morning." Music has always been an integral part of Eric Paul Richards' life, both before and after the night in early 2007 when he had a stroke that deprived him of control of the left side of his body. The classical works he used to perform as an organist and harpsichordist with the Messiah's Church of Hanover, Germany, were intricate and beautiful. The tunes the 50-year-old plays on the keyboard these days are simple and not all that pleasing to the ear. Yet for Richter, the monotonous tone sequences he has been practicing since soon after rehab are crucial. With their help, he has been steadily regaining the ability to use his once useless left hand. "This and being able to produce a melody again is a great reward," he says. These music-supported training, MUT, exercises developed by Eckhart Altenmuller and his team at the Institute of Music Physiology and Musicians Medicine, IMMM, also in Hanover, have proven a much more effective treatment when combined with traditional rehabilitation methods such as physiotherapy. Studies have shown that MUT's combination of auditory and sensory motor stimulation led to more pronounced improvements with respect to speed, precision, and smoothness of finger movements than ordinary therapy, according to a study in the Journal of Neurology. Moreover, motor control in everyday activities, grasping an object, zipping a zipper, also improved. For decades, psychotherapists have used music to treat people with psychological and behavioral problems. More recently, though, music-based therapy of the kind experienced by Richter has become a popular complement to surgery and drugs. In the U.S., doctors use music to help stroke victims relearn to talk. In Canada, it's employed to make surgical procedures involving spinal anesthesia more bearable. German physicians use it to ease migraines. In Israel, it has been shown to improve cognitive function in schizophrenics. And in Switzerland, music is used as a treatment for geriatric patients with cognitive problems. Whether it's administered in an operating room, an assisted living facility, or a therapeutic clinic, music has the huge advantage of having no side effects, says Stefan Kolsch, a neuroscientist at the University of Sussex in Brighton, England. And unlike a drug, it will also continue working after its immediate effect has phased out. Music and medicine share a long history. The oldest evidence of musical therapy goes as far back as the 3rd millennium BCE, when Sumerians composed temple hymns to cure the sick. Healing incantations and musical instruments were also prescribed in ancient China and Egypt. In the Odyssey, Homer describes how a healer's chant stopped a wound from bleeding. Music remained part of the curriculum for aspiring physicians until the 17th century, when it was employed to treat disorders. It was only in the 19th century that music lost its link to medicine. But music's physiological effects are as pronounced as its psychological effects. For more than 20 years, Ralph Sprintje, an anesthesiist at the Hellersen Sports Hospital in Ludenscheid, Germany, and president of the International Society for Music and Medicine, has used music as an analgesic and sedative during operations and examinations. His patients, he says, require fewer painkillers and stress-reducing medication. Aside from drawing the patient's attention away from other sensory stimuli, the whirring of a bone saw during a hip replacement, for instance, he says music directly dampens the brain regions responsible for processing pain. Experts think music boosts the activity of pain-blocking nerve pathways, too. Physiologically, it normalizes the heart rate, arterial blood pressure and breathing, and lowers levels of stress, pain hormones, and muscular tension, Sprintje adds. Electroencephalography, EEG, measurements have shown that music can induce quasi-sleep states, which can be helpful before surgery. Some effects continue for up to an hour after the music has been switched off. The article then skips down and ends with this. Music therapy isn't a replacement for traditional medicine, agree all researchers in the field, but it can shorten recovery times, reduce pain, and alleviate the psychological stress caused by disease with little expense and no side effects. When music is used, though, it should be part of a treatment regimen supervised by a psychotherapist or doctor. The first step is always to see a physician, Brandy says. For Eric Paul Richter, the dream of playing the harpsichord or organ with his old aplomb may remain just that, a dream. But with the help of the keyboard, he's at least learning to master his own body once more. So, what do you know about summer rock and roll music? Today's featured genre of music, which is inspired by the fact that this coming Monday is in fact summer solstice, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, the first day of summer. According to this article, 100 Greatest Summer Songs, produced by digitaldreamdoor.nutsy.com on April 29, 2009, edited by Lou. The criteria to be included on these 100 Greatest Summer Songs is simply that these summer songs come from all popular music genres. Rock, pop, reggae, hip-hop, country, jazz. The only requirement to be on the list is to have summer in the title. But the songs are ranked by popularity. So I've included only the top 10 here. First one, Summertime Blues by Eddie Cochran. Number two, Summer in the City by The Lovin' Spoonful. Number three, Hot Fun in the Summertime by Sly and the Family Stone. Number four, Summer of 69 by Bryan Adams. Number five, Summertime by Billie Holiday. Number six, the one that opened today's program, In the Summertime by Mungo Jerry. Number seven, Summer Breeze, Seals and Croft. Number eight, Those Lazy, Hazy, Crazy Days of Summer by Nat King Cole. Number nine, Summer Wind by Frank Sinatra. Number 10, The Boys of Summer by Don Henley. Dave White has a somewhat more extensive list that he published called Warm Weather Rock from About.com Guide, downloaded on June 15, 2010. The sun, the beach, convertibles with their top-downs, lazy days and crazy nights. Spring and summer have been depicted, dissected, wished for, worshipped, and honored as much as any musical subject, with the possibility of exceptions of sex and drugs. Here's a look at some of the rock songs that best depict the mostly bright side of the warm weather days of misspent youth. Number one, Summer in the City, Lovin' Spoonful. Hot Town Summer in the City was the anthem for hot July nights in the summer of 66 when it was number one single from the album Hums of the Lovin' Spoonful. It makes the back of my neck feel dirty and gritty just thinking about it. Summertime by Billy Stewart. Fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Suggest a summer in the country, counterpart to the Loving Spoonful's homage to hot weather. Billy Stewart's rendition, the album version, with more scat and hot sax not heard on the radio single, is the best. Nothing says summer quite like brrrr, up chuck 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 chuka chuck chuck ooh. In the summertime, Mungo Jerry, Billy Stewart didn't have anything on these guys when it came to making vocal sound effects. Their first number one single was eminently sing-alongable with lyrics like da-da-da-dee-da-doo-da-dee-dee-dee-da, dee-da-da. They also had a solid list of great ways to waste your time when the weather is fine, like swimming in the sea, driving fast, drinking and having women on your mind. Summertime Blues by Blue Cheer. Quick, name a band or artist who hasn't covered this classic that originated with Eddie Cochran in 1958. Blue Cheer's hard rock version is one of the best, with T-Rex and The Who in a tie for second. Hot Fun in the Summertime, Sly and the Family Stone. The best version of this often-covered summer song about a county fair in the country sun is the one recorded by Sly and the Family Stone shortly after the performance at Woodstock in 1969. The fact that them summer days caused English teachers to cringe just made it that much more popular with a generation of rebellious youngsters. All Summer Long, the Beach Boys. No self-respecting list of songs about summer would be complete without at least one song by the Beach Boys, for whom summer provided the basis for a musical genre unto itself. It's summer summarized, T-shirts, cutoffs, and a pair of thongs. We've been having fun all summer long. So let's take a listen to some snippets from these summer tunes. We'll start out with Hot Fun in the Summertime, and that, of course, is by Sally and the Family Stone. Then we'll go to a Jimmy Buffett number, Margaritaville. Can't have summer without Jimmy Buffett influence. And then the Drifters with Under the Boardwalk to give it that local North Carolina feel as well. We'll close out today's episodes with California Girls by the Beach Boys. But first, Hot Fun in the Summertime. Now some Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville.
Nibbling on sponge cake, watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil. Drumming my six string on my front porch swing. Smell those shrimp, they're beginning to boil. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Searching for my lost sugar.
And now the Drifters, Under the Boardwalk.
When the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot you wish your tired feet were fireproof, under the boardwalk.
baby's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk.
Out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk.
We'll be having some fun.
And once again, we couldn't close this program without having some Beach Boys, so we will have them at the very end of this show. Sorry for the open space pause that occurred just before the playing of this music. I just couldn't resist. Had to run outside, get me a little tan. But now, we're back to the stories. The story by called Today and Yesterday, Sing Harmony at Bonnaroo by John Pareles in the New York Times, June 13, 2010. Manchester, Tennessee, the aspirations and survival tactics of the Bonnaroo Music and Arts Festival, the annual four-day marathon of musical overload and muddy toes, were neatly summed up in its headliners this year, a jam band, current hitmakers, and a longtime pop giant. They balanced Bonnaroo's neo-hippie aura with attention to the present. The article skips around. The final on Sunday was the Dave Matthews Band reaffirming in Bonnaroo's ninth year its origin as a gathering of jam bands. Friday night's headliner was Kings of Leon, which has transformed itself from a hard-nosed southern rock band to arena rock hitmakers. The headliner on Saturday was Stevie Wonder, an older generation's ubiquitous pop songwriter, master musician, and preacher of positive thoughts. The leading hippie among the performers may well have been Wayne Coyne of the Flaming Lips, who followed Kings of Leon on Friday night with a nutty, eye-popping video and stage spectacle playing their own anthemic songs, followed by a boisterous reworking of a full Pink Floyd album from 1973, The Dark Side of the Moon. Mr. Wonder called for peace and love. Mr. Coyne called for peace, love, and legalizing marijuana. A visible gray-haired contingent was part of the festival's approximately 75,000 visitors. The article then concludes with this. Bonnaroo has also become a non-coastal destination for comics. Conan O'Brien headlined the festival's comedy tent and doubled as a main stage master of ceremonies. Amid heat and humidity that turned the festival into a steam bath, occasionally punctuated by a downpour, Mr. O'Brien offered advice to hippies and hipsters alike. Take a shower, he urged. This contemporary rock review is brought to us by Entertainment Weekly, published on the 18th of June, 2010. Hanson shouted out. Having gotten out his new wave ya-yas with tinted windows, Taylor Hanson leads his bros on a trip through the soulful side of mid-60s rock. Up-tempo jams like Waiting for This shimmer with top-shelf songcraft. Motown vet Bob Babbitt even sits in on bass. But sometimes you wish these whiz kids would act their age. Given a B-minus by MW, who recommends downloading these. Organ-enriched, Thinking About Something, and I Waited, which boasts a tasty horn chart. So how'd you do on the trivia questions which opened today's program? What did Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen lose in a 1984 auto accident? An arm. And what California group waited 22 years to score their first chart-topping single since 1966? That was the Beach Boys. Speaking of which... Run out of time for today's episode of Rock Review. Be sure to listen at the same time next week. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. This program is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. So long until